The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Welcome to the 289th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. I am your host, Floyd Johnson. In a rare attempt, I will be flying this episode solo. Austin Sumowitz, my normal co-host, is driving his sister Sydney from Detroit to New York to help her get enrolled in vet school. She's going to be Long Island ICID. So, safe travels. I believe they are there now because I am recording this on Thursday morning, August 21st. Congrats to Sid on getting into vet school, making her way to vet school. She's going to do great in New York. She's going to be on the Long Island, so she's going to enjoy that. So I fully expect her to be best friends with Willow and Chris Statlander before she gets back. No, I kid, but congrats to her. But Austin's off this week for a good reason. Just to kind of give you an update, We're getting this show, which is me recording over the night by myself or whatever. The reason no one's with me on this one is JR is going to, we're going to do an instant recording of All Things Elite right after Forbidden Door. And we're going to upload that Sunday because it's going to be over Sunday at like 6 o'clock in the evening my time. So it'll be up Sunday night, Monday morning, ready to go. It'll be the quickest we've ever got a podcast out with the reaction to a pay-per-view ever. So thank you. And to all of those people that are listening to the show first time because of the giveaway we are doing at AT Elite Pod on X, I appreciate you. I hope you enjoy the show. This is literally not our normal format. I don't do the show by myself very often. I think this is maybe the third or fourth time ever at almost 300 episodes. But hopefully I can keep you entertained while we go through this. I'm usually pretty good at bouncing off people, but I won't be bouncing off anyone on this show. So the first thing I did want to talk about, again, I'm Floyd Johnson, and I'm hoping we have gotten new listeners from this. I am just a little about myself. I am I'm 44 years old. I am a 44-year wrestling fan. My brother, actually named Kenneth, got me into wrestling. He got into wrestling the year I was born. So when people ask, when did you start wrestling, not watching wrestling, I make this point that I don't know a time in my life that wrestling wasn't a part of it. My dad used to go to wrestling at the Chase in St. Louis. My uncles, my grandpa, they weren't like diehard wrestling fans, but they did know about wrestling. They knew Ric Flair. They knew Harley Race and all that kind of stuff. So wrestling has been my life, been a part of my life my whole life. So I kind of have a unique perspective on it because unlike a lot of my friends, I did not take that break. You know, there's this time after high school, college, you're going to college, you were becoming an adult, and you just don't have as much time to watch wrestling. And people usually step away from wrestling for about 3 or 4 years and then get back into it. I did not. I never got away from it. I never got away from wrestling. That's not a brag or anything. It's just because it was a fundamental thing, when it was a fundamental part of me and my brother's relationship, there was never a time without wrestling. So that's a quick introduction to me. I've been to a lot of, as you know, if you follow me, I've been to a lot of AEW shows. I think I'm in the 70s now. I have the list somewhere. But, yeah, I love this. We started the show February 2019. So this show started pre-AEW doing a show. And it has evolved over the years into what it is now. So I welcome you all. A download. Listen for a second. Listen for a minute. I appreciate you. We do try our best to get into wrestling fairly quickly on the show, but because of the contest, I do know that we probably get at least a few new listeners, a few people giving the show a shot. So I kind of wanted to reintroduce myself. My partner's Austin. I wish he was here, but Austin's been a wrestling fan most of his life. He has a shoot job working in sports. If you'll hear his voice, you can tell what he does. And he was the stabilizing force of what this show eventually became. So occasionally, you will, and like on the review show of Forbidden Door, you'll have my friend Jesus Perez, a.k.a. JR. He sometimes guest hosts, and I also sometimes have people from all over the Social Suplex Podcast Network. So make sure you are following the Social Suplex Podcast Network on your device, however you download your podcast. When I upload this show, because of the contest and the figures, I'm going to post it on the site. If you take a picture of yourself, subscribe to either the Social Suplex Podcast Network or All Things Elite directly. Either one works. And you show that you've downloaded the show, like with a quick screenshot, it will get you an extra entry into the giveaway of the sold-out Swerve Jazzwares figure. I went to the site, made sure it was sold out, and the 1 of 3,000 Okada Shop AEW figure. Again, I decided to give this away to hopefully increase interest in the show, get more listeners. Yes, all the obvious reasons people give giveaways, I did all those giveaways. I did the giveaway for that. So, again, you have to go to the original post. It's on at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. You have to go to the original post. Make sure you like it, retweet it, and comment who you think's going to win between Swerve and Ospreay. And like I said, when I upload the show, if you show me that you have downloaded the show, or, you know, subscribe to Social Suplex or All Things Elite Direct Podcast, because there's two of them. If you show me you did that, you will get an extra entry, because just trying to get people to give a show. Our show is, to sum it up, it's the proclivity of positivity. It is all about what we like. We try not to focus on what we dislike, but we are honest. If I don't like something or something doesn't make sense to me, I will make that known. And, you know, I'm hoping it gives a little levity to the show, because I know shows can be sometimes too positive and then shows can be sometimes too negative. I want to be like 70% positive, 30%, you know, negative or whatever. So make sure you're downloading this show on YouTube Music or Apple Podcasts or wherever you download your podcast. I use Podcast Republic. You know, that's what Rich Lida sent me to use. Please leave a rating and review if you're so inclined, and follow us on Twitter, which I'm hoping the new people are already, at AT Elite Pod. Then there's at Social Suplex, which you also have to follow to get entered into the contest, at Austin Sumowitz. His name is spelled S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. And then there's me at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. As a reminder, please check out our Chop Tees for shirts from Social Suplex and the first Social Suplex newsletter. We also have a Social Suplex Discord. All of these, the links to all of these can be found at the bottom of the show notes when you download the podcast. All right. So, yeah. News of the week was the Forbidden Door giveaway. It was finally announced. The goal was to do it with the upload of last week's show. The post that I wanted to put was too long. So, I mean, I could try to shorten it, but I didn't get all the information that I wanted in it. So I went ahead and got the AT Elite Pod verified. I know some people are very disappointed in me giving Mr. Musk more money, but I did. I went ahead and got the account verified so I could put up the post. We have a new social media manager. Her name's Laura. She's going to be posting most of the sites and helping run the contest and everything like that, just to keep. So when I have my ADHD moment, when I kind of lose interest in running the AT Elite Pod, she'll be stepping in there. So, but if you have any questions or any answers on that, you can questions or anything that you want, you can put, you can address me or address Austin if you have a direct or address in general. She'll make sure the answer gets question gets answered. We plan on being engaging on that Twitter, in our Discord, way more than before. Like, it was non-existent, so non-existent times 100. So there you go. So yeah, we're definitely excited about this. Hope you win. The more interaction I get on it, and you know, the more interaction I get on these contests, the more I'll do. I don't like to use the term super fan. I think fan's enough, but a lot of people would describe me as a super fan. I have a ton of shit, a ton of AEW stuff. I only have so much wall space, so I have a ton of stuff to give away. I just have to have motivation to give it away. So if this is helping grow our channel, get more listeners, you know, get more people on our Twitter account, get more people in the Discord, then absolutely I'll keep doing it. But, you know, it is, you know, it is what it is. It's a give and take situation. So thank you. I appreciate you all that have entered so far. Make sure you're sharing with your friends, having them enter. Want as many people as we possibly can, as many followers we possibly can before we do it. And it's a true blind giveaway. I'm going to put all the names in a randomizer. Boom. The name that pops up at the top of the list wins it. I ship it anywhere in the world. I don't care if I have to ship it to Australia or whatever. If you win, you win. You'll get both figures. All right. So that was the news of the week. That's what we like to start off with every week, is just the main topic of the week. For this one, the main topic was that. But so we're just going to get into the regular show. The biggest thing now, and I was like, I kind of wish Austin was here to feed me so I can jump in and you can feel my excitement. But New Japan this past Sunday had their G1 final, and the match was Konosuke Takeshita versus Evil for the G1 final. Konosuke Takeshita from AEW, from DDT, from New Japan became the winner of the G1. If you might not know, some of you follow me on my page, some of you don't. Last month, I just like went full in, and I was like, and this is before any of the rumors I had heard, any of the rumors of Takeshita's success or non-success in the G1. I was like, Takeshita's my favorite AEW wrestler. I mean, and believe me, I haven't had a favorite AEW wrestler, like singles wrestler, since Cody left. It was that was for me a blow. Cody leaving was a blow, and it was hard for me to emotionally invest in any singles act. Of course, I'm known as FTR Express on Twitter. They're my favorite tag team. They're, you know, I'm all about them. I have never had a problem finding an emotional connection to them, but no singles wrestler. So it was Swerve, it was Ospreay, it was MJF. I mean, you have so many excellent wrestlers to select to, and I've truly thought it was Swerve at some point, but I look forward to Konosuke Takeshita matches. Doesn't matter who he's wrestling, I can know he's going to win, I can be pretty sure he's going to lose. I just look forward to his matches, and I hang on everything. So when he beat Evil to become G1, I was ecstatic. There's been mixed reactions from the New Japan fan base. I don't blame them. That's their product. They're allowed to feel the way that they want. I am just hoping, my hope, my goal, if you've ever listened to this show, I've never been New Japan versus AEW. To me, AEW and my AEW fandom doesn't exist without New Japan. I owe my fandom to New Japan. Cody Rhodes is... the American Nightmare persona was presented in New Japan. Kenny Omega and Okada was at Wrestle Kingdom. That first time was the match to change how I viewed wrestling. So I have nothing but love for New Japan. And I know the New Japan fan base and some of them don't feel the same way towards AEW, but that won't change anything with me. I'm not ever going to have beef with New Japan. I want them to be successful at everything. I will be at Wrestle Kingdom 2026 to see Tanahashi retire. So I wish nothing for the best for New Japan. I hope they get their fans get what they want. They want to use some of the homegrown talent to help build up their product. I hope they get everything they want when it comes to that. Again, no beef coming my way from AEW New Japan because, like I said, my fandom at its current state doesn't exist without New Japan. It doesn't exist without one of the flagships of Social Suplex, which is Keeping the Strong Style with Jeremy and Josh. Doesn't exist. There was another show I listened to, Super J-Cast, on Super J-Cast on the Voices of Wrestling podcast. My fandom of AEW doesn't exist without those people educating me, teaching me about wrestling, teaching me how to watch wrestling. I haven't come all the way to there. I'll never be Josh Smith. I'll never be the young boy. But, as much as he's educated me in how to look, there's no beef on this side from the New Japan. So I was ecstatic when Takeshita won. The three contract Takeshita G1, he said his goal after the match was to take the title into Wrestle Kingdom and take the title into Wrestle Kingdom and main event Wrestle Kingdom as champion. So this is going to be the Wrestle Kingdom I go to. So the idea that my favorite wrestler would main event in the Tokyo Dome in the show I'm going to, say it makes me pretty ecstatic and make her pretty happy. I'm hoping they can get some good feuds going. Like I said, I just want the New Japan crowd to be what they are. I mean, it was just really ecstatic and passionate about the product. So, yeah. But, this is my victory lap. I put up a post that I've only been, Takeshita's only been my number one guy for a month, and all he's done is won the fucking G1. Shout out to Takeshita. Shout out to shout out to New Japan Wrestling. This was probably a tough call. It probably would have been easy to go with Yoda Tsuji or Shota Umino or fuck, even Evil. It probably would have been doing that, and it probably would have made a little few of their fans happier. But they went with Takeshita. He's one of the best pound-for-pound people in the ring, and I'm hoping he can help elevate New Japan. Elevate to New Japan to the heights of where they were when I was just starting to be a fan, because they were super hot when I was just starting to be a fan. So, but yeah, so shout out to Takeshita. Shout out to all the people in Japan. Shout out to Issa. I gotta give a shout out to Issa. Issa, and she is a photographer for PWI, and she put me onto Takeshita. I had heard he was gonna debut. I had never seen a match. Didn't even know what the man was going to look like. And she was like, he's going to end up being your favorite wrestler. And I was just like, not really. I've never heard him, blah, blah, blah. I was calling him Takeshita. That was ignorance. Not me trying to be funny. It was ignorance. I didn't know how to pronounce his name. I was calling him Takeshita. And, she was like, Takeshita. And she was like, watch this guy. He's going to be everything. He's going to be like your favorite wrestler. He has no weaknesses in the wrestling game. He has no weaknesses in ring. And I watched him, and it took a couple years of me watching him and consistent banger after banger after banger. My favorite match that I have seen live in AEW is Takeshita versus Will Ospreay, Revolution, where Sting retired. I believe that was 2024. Where Sting retired, that is my favorite match live. Has there been other great matches? Absolutely. But that match had me on the edge of my seat. I knew Will Ospreay was winning because that was his first match with the company. But it still had me on the edge of the seat every time. Takeshita's had many, many bangers in AEW. So I am looking forward to that. Like I said, I called this my victory lap. And like I said, it would work better if Austin had summed up and I would have jumped in here and everything. But I just wanted to let everyone know, that's my guy. I got his shirts. I got all that stuff. I'm really looking forward to New Japan. I'm literally looking forward to Wrestle Kingdom. Japan is a bucket list item for me. So I am like, I will be back shortly with our Dynamite review. Holy hell, the Dynamite review. That first segment of the show was fucking nuts. Like, I had to take notes about everything that happened because, yeah, a lot of shit happened. So we start off the show with Bryan Danielson's music. Yes, yes, yes. Sets the tone for the crowd. The crowd is fucking amazing. I'm like, oh my God, they're setting it on. We're going to go straight in the match. No, we're not. Will Ospreay music comes on. His music hits. Ospreay, Ospreay. And he's feeling elevated. He gets in the middle of the ring. And he's in the middle of the ring. Basically says he's not cleared. He had a, and I'm trying to sum this up because he said a lot. He's not cleared. He's going to have to go down a path that other wrestlers went down. He stopped short of saying he has to have neck surgery. I think that's what he was getting at. I'm just going to sum it up. You know, he used a lot of words to dance around the fact he didn't want to say neck surgery, but it seems like he's not cleared. That's why it's an unsanctioned match and he's going to have neck surgery. He said he did have a funny anecdote about, you know, UK people being able to drink the Yanks under the table or whatever. And he's going to take them out a party. And then he got a sausage roll chant, Greg's sausage roll. I think that's what he said. I played it like three times. I think they're saying Greg's sausage rolls. I'm not 100% sure. Apparently they're fucking over. They're almost as over as Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson. That was amazing. Moxley comes out with the Death Riders. Ospreay's like, dude, you say you're the ace of the company. Why you need all these people to fight me? You know, so he kind of tells them back, and it looks like they're about to jump him anyway. Jet Speed comes out and gets in a fight. Will Ospreay bounces immediately, which I thought was fucked up in the moment. I was like, Jet Speed comes out to defend you, and you leave. But, hey, it all leads to something. He runs to the back. Hiroshi Tanahashi's music hits. He comes out. They have the match. They start having the match or whatever. Marina Shafir like pulls Kevin Knight's leg, and she gets kicked out. And when she's getting out, Will Ospreay comes up from behind her, and he takes her in the back. He picks her up, takes her in the back, right? All right, there's the end of Marina Shafir. So it looks like Tanahashi's, the match continues. Looks like Tanahashi's going up, going to high fly flow someone. And all of a sudden, the Bullet Club War Dogs come out. The War Dogs come out. It's Gabe Kidd, Driller Mahoney, Driller Maloney, Robbie X, and Clark Connors. They all have fancy names before their names, but whatever. The Bullet Club War Dogs come out. They have each other. They have their back. Will Ospreay comes out with a body bag, and everybody assumes it's Marina in it. And the War Dogs are like distracted because they don't, you know, they don't want them to hurt Marina. And then the Young Bucks come out to for Will Ospreay again. This feels like you think, oh, this is enough. This is not even close to the end, really. The Young Bucks come out, and they super kick Will Ospreay. But before they can really get on Will Ospreay, the Paragon comes out, and they fight the Young Bucks to the back. Okay? Then, of course, Mox and them come out, and they're fighting Will Ospreay, and they're trying to fight him off. They're trying to fight him off. And like I said, I'm trying to get a hold of this in my head. And they're trying to fight him off. And they fight him off. And they open it up. And it's Darby in the casket fighting everybody. There's a big fight down between the War Dogs. At some point in this match, Tanahashi hits the high fly flow on Willie Uden and gets the pin. Don't remember when that happens. The rest of the War Dogs are all in the ring trying to attack. Then the Ops come out, and they attack the War Dogs. Everybody's fighting. They fight into the crowd. In the crowd, I didn't even see it because it's kind of dark. Then off the stage, it's not even the stage, like steps. I don't even know what to call it. It's like an awning. Darby hits his coffin drop on everyone, and they kind of lay it off. And then the Ops... Will Ospreay's covering and Darby Allin as they take off while the Death Riders and the War Dogs are laying there. I assume It has not been officially announced. I've been refreshing to see. I assume this is going to lead to the Ops versus the War Dogs at Forbidden Door. I don't know if it'll be on the pre-show or the real show, but that looks like it's going to happen. But that it looks like that Lights Out Steel Cage match is going to be just fucking nuts. If this was any idea of what that match is going to be. Now, I really do, like, this segment was 30 minutes, and it was like, it featured. This is how you get a lot of people on your show. It featured the Death Riders in their entirety, except, of course, Pac. You had the Death Riders. Then you had Will Ospreay, Tanahashi, Jet Speed. Then you had the War Dogs, four of the War Dog members. Then you had the Young Bucks. Then you had Paragon. Then you had the Paragon. Then then you had the Ops. So that's roughly, 15, 20 people in the first segment? That's how you make use of your time. It got the crowd started off hot, on fire. This show was like, okay, where are they going to go from here? But this was big. So many things. It felt like we were like really, this was the first time you really seen the Forbidden Door part of Forbidden Door. I thought this was really cool. It's one of those things. If you guarantee that, you know, they would sell out and this much every time, man, it feels like, man, you should be doing at least one show every 3 months in the UK. Like, because they just make every show feel bigger. Dynamite felt bigger tonight. It felt important. It felt on the level as far as attendance, energy, and all that stuff. It felt like a Raw, or it felt like a SmackDown. I don't generally compare to WWE, but the one thing they get right is their fans are into that stuff, and it just felt like a very big show. And shout out to Scotland, showing up, showing your ass, staying loud. They made this whole search segment amazing, amazing. So shout out to all of them. All right, so on to the next segment, or the next match. So the next segment is Cope comes out, and he is serenaded by this beautiful Scotland crowd. Amazing crowd, amazing crowd. I imagine it would rank high on any type of list that you want. And Cope comes out, and then Christian comes out, and Christian's like, shh, you know, keep it down while I'm doing my business. Cope's like, you can't be that guy. And he's like, you can't be that guy. These people love us. He's like, hey, he's an asshole, but he's our asshole. Very much like MJF's when he was with the Brochachos or whatever. But it rang like that to me. Christian Cage says, hey, I found myself. I didn't need to change, but we both have problems. You have a problem with Nick Wayne, and I have a problem with, I have a problem with Nick Wayne. You have a problem with FTR. We're going to help each other's problems, and I'm going to be the best partner ever. They shake hands on it. A loving segment. Then, of course, out comes Miss Shayna Wayne, and she comes out with Kip. No Nick for some reason. They said there's a video message from Nick. Nick Wayne says, apparently, when Christian came out to attack him last week, he somehow broke his foot. So he's out of Forbidden Door. They took away from him. But he's one step ahead. And the one step ahead was, you get a video package and you show a person with gloves on and they're shooting a needle into an IV. And then a creature wakes up. And who is it? The man formerly known as Luchasaurus, it's Killswitch. Now, I got to give the shout out to the UK AEW fans, the ones that were in the building, the ones that read the spoilers. I didn't mute anything, and I never saw this spoiled. Do you understand how rare and amazing that is? Nobody tried to get on Twitter and get their self over by spoiling Killswitch's return. Man, this was awesome. It was such a cool moment. Killswitch comes out. He chokeslams Cope. Chris turns around, a little hesitation, but he chokeslams him, leaves him laying in the ring. Welcome back, Killswitch. If you did not know about Luchasaurus, a.k.a. Killswitch, he actually had the, like, double lung pneumonia thing, and he was stuck in the hospital, and they didn't know he would make it, and he recovered, and he got out the hospital, and, of course, rehabbed, and came back to wrestling. So, you want to talk about a feel-good story. They could have went a lot of ways with this story. I dig the way they went, but they very well could have told a different story, because as far as the rumors online, I was not there, have not asked anyone, but the rumors online is that he was fairly close to, you know, dying, or he was very, very ill. So, man, it just warms the cockles of my soul that Killswitch is back, and he came back and attacking him. Now, there's been some video packages warring now, and I even said it at the time. It looked like the guy that shot the syringe looked real familiar. He looked like somebody you just want to blame for stuff that he's not, that's not his fault. I don't know what you call that. What do you call that? Billy goat? No, not a billy goat. Oh, what kind of goat do you call it? Oh, a scapegoat? Scapegoat. I don't know. He looked real familiar. Now, there was this tag team. They're actually still on my wall. There was this tag team that held the tag team titles for a little while. And they're kind of, you know, that first AEW kind of homegrown tag team of old Jungle Boy, Jack Perry. Some, you know, feels like a lifetime ago. And this guy named Luchasaurus. He looks a lot like Killswitch. And they were the Jurassic Express, and they were a tag team. And they were a good tag team. Now, as a person that is a proponent, lover, and completely obsessed with tag team wrestling, I would not mind them coming back as a tag team and being treated with the respect that a former tag team champion is. Because we had the Guns. Unfortunately, Colton got hurt. But I like to see some of these tag teams come back, you know, that were champions before, come back and really get this division back to where it needs to be. But that's beside the point. Christian and Cope laid out by Killswitch. The match has been adjusted. It is Killswitch and Kip Sabian versus Christian Cage and Copeland, or Cope, as they call them. So after this, we go straight to a backstage segment. Mark Briscoe is like, I came all across the ocean. MJF, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to kill you. So he just said on TV, I just want to point this out, he just threatened to murder MJF on national TV. I ask you, someone threatened to murder you publicly, how would you defend yourself? We'll get to that when we get to that. Then MJF found Ricochet and his boys. They really do need a name. I know I'm obsessed with naming groups. I'm obsessed with naming tag teams. Little secret, you get to get a little bit inside of my brain. When it came to the Hardys, the Dudleys, and Edge and Christian, Edge and Christian was my third team, and I didn't like them. Why? Because they didn't have a name. They were just called Edge and Christian. Thought that was stupid. They should have came up with some Canadian name or whatever the fuck they were going to come up with. They should have just called themselves 5 Second Pose. I don't know, but they needed a damn name. You're not a team unless you have a name. The Golden Lovers, you know, the Young Bucks, FTR, the Lucha Bros. You just go down the list. When you don't have a name, you're not a team. Screw you. So, yes. So, I always, Cope and Christian never went, never got to me because they didn't have a name, so they weren't a real tag team. And actually, of the three tag teams, they were together the shortest, so they was even less of a real tag team. Well, MJF goes up to Ricochet, Ricochet in the Gates of Agony, and says, hey, an enemy of my enemy is my friend. So what would happen if the four of us found Mark Briscoe before you found me? Ricochet is usually, I like watching you walk around with it like a chicken with your head cut off, all scared and shit. But he annoys me. And so let's do this. And they shake hands. And yeah, so it looks like we got MJF. We got We got MJF. We got the Gates and Agony and Ricochet. And they're looking for Mark Briscoe. But Mark Briscoe is looking to murder MJF. We're going to have to find out what happened. Next match up, we have the greatest tag team walking God's green earth. My favorite tag team. My Twitter account, FTR Express namesake, Dax Harwood, Cash Wheeler, Big motherfucking Stoke, FTR, as they wrestle in the finals of this tag team eliminator tournament against the team of Big Brody King and Bandido Brodito. Now, I was like, I can't live in a world where within like a month, Bandido beats not only my favorite wrestler, Takeshita, then beats my favorite tag team. I don't know. I'd have some things to go. Well, this match was fucking amazing. FTR has made a niche in a time where time limit draws and stuff are few and far between. FTR has made it their signature match. Him and Bandido, they start this match, and it's just classic tag team wrestling. FTR trying to cut off the ring. There's a spot where FTR had just gotten clotheslined by Brody King, and they go on the outside and they try to get Brody King thrown out, and Stoke punches Brody King, and it was like, and then Brody King's like going down, and he's like, there's no way one punch from Stoke can knock out Brody King. And it turns out in his sling was a metal pipe. It busted Brody King wide open. Busted him open to the white meat. And that's how he rocked that Crimson Mask through the rest of the show. And just like most tag team wrestling matches, anytime it was even, Bandido and Brody King were getting the better of FTR. Of course, Brody King has this massive side advantage. There was this chop exchange with Dax, and I was just like, nah, bruh, Dax, it's not what you want to do. This is not. I was bringing up. I was on the phone with JR, and I was like, Dax always said he wanted to wrestle. He wanted to fight Gunther. I was like, this is close as he's gonna get, because Brody King makes Gunther look like, you know, skinny. And then yeah, they were just knocking the shit out of each other, dude. Brody King, shout out to Hawk, no sold a pile driver. That was cool. But that was before he's busted open. They do the cutoff the match. They try to go for their powerplex, and they end up having to adjust, and they did a back suplex and then the splash. And the match is going. I hit Shatter Machine on Bandido. Brody broke that up. And as you can see, it was like 10 minutes left in the match, 5 minutes left in the match. The urgency kicks up. You know, FTR keeps kicking out of everything. So, you know, everything is amazing in this match till the last minute. Now, the last minute, as far as execution, was great. But as far as logic and what you're going to do when you're in the last 2 minutes of the match, it made no sense. They said it was 30 seconds left, and FTR starts pulling out a table. Like, so what you're going to do is set up the table, put Brody or Bandido through the table, put them back in the ring, pin them all in 30 seconds. That math ain't mathing. Now, they might have been trying to get over the FTR had done everything they could, and they couldn't figure out that how to do it, so they started getting desperate. But they heard there was only 30 seconds left, and I think this match would have been brilliant. You had that last 30 seconds where they're trying to pin each other, but because of the table, and then Cash comes crashing through the table spout. The table spot was like the last thing, and then the clock ended. Bandido hits Dax with his German suplex, but the match is over. They get a call from Tony Khan down at the ring, and they announced the match is a draw, and they said Tony Khan says both opponents will be wrestling the Hurt Syndicate at Forbidden Door. The Hurt Syndicate then comes down and stares down. Now, again, proclivity for positivity. If I ever remind you of that, that generally means I'm going to say something negative. A few weeks ago, I suck with time. That report came out about MVP not liking Mike Bailey, them not wanting to wrestle with FTR, and them not really wanting to put anybody over, blah, blah, blah. I always say it, grain of salt. Grain of salt. Wrestlers try to protect their spot, all that. Well, this match ending in a draw and having setting up a three-way at Forbidden Door leads to me to believe that there's probably more truth than I was led on to believe. Now, again, I truly believe that's work product. I believe that happens in the backstage. That's for Tony to deal with. That's for the wrestlers to deal with Tony. I mean, as a wrestling fan, it's cool knowing some of this information sometimes. But I truly believe sometimes we know too much. And we let that frame how we're watching the TV show. Because in essence, wrestling is a TV show. And, you know, good guys, bad guys, and all that stuff. But you start letting the personal feelings, what you've heard, this person's hard to work with, this person's this, affect how you watch the program. And I think that's when you get too far down the rabbit hole, right? So I'm watching this, but yeah, it did pop up in my head like, oh, okay. Because I've been very clear, and we'll get to the predictions later, that I thought FTR was going to win the title to eventually set up a match with Christian and Cage and Cope at All Out. That's been my thought. That's where my brain has been this whole time. So I was like, oh, FTR is going to beat the Hurt Syndicate. And I had my way that was going to happen in my head, but whatever. And then they did the draw. And it's like, oh, so FTR is not going to beat the Hurt Syndicate to win the tag team titles. They're going to beat Brody and Bandido, which, you know, again, look up them lights. Take that three. I don't know. Again, work product. Me talking about backstage stuff, how shit should be done as far as with the wrestlers and all that stuff. Like I said, I feel like most of that, 99% of that is none of my damn business. And this is like new revelation for me. I was as deep into it as anyone else, but I have found the less I know, the more I enjoy the show. So I have kind of turned a new leaf of trying not to know shit. So I know not everybody is like that, and okay, enjoy wrestling the way you enjoy it, but like I said, when the extra stuff that you know starts affecting how you like a wrestler or whatever, it gets too far in the weeds. And I'm not saying I've never done it. I have. Honestly, most of the reason I don't like Hangman has something to do with that. So don't get me wrong. I'm working on myself. Just like every human that I am a work in progress. You know, sometimes I'm a little hypocritical. I'll work on it. But yes, triple threat or three-way match for the AEW World Tag Team titles. This opens up a lot of things. Now it's a no DQ match because three-way matches are no DQ matches. So there's no interference or anything. So that opens up. You got Stokely at the ringside. You have MVP at the ringside. MVP don't want that smoke. I think Brody King and Mandito need to find somebody to be their third because, you know, why would you go out there uneven? But, no, we will, like I said, we will further expand on my predictions for the match and how I expect it to go down. But this being a trios match, like I said, it set off some spidey senses. It made the hair on the back of my head kind of tingle a little bit because I wasn't, you know, like, oh, this is real. You know, this there might be some truth to this whole Hurt Syndicate thing, which of course I don't want it to be true. I, of course, as a wrestling fan, you just want everybody to love everybody. Everybody love everybody. You know, the Tropics thing. All right. So the next thing, Hangman comes out. He's talking. He's basically saying MJF doesn't have the stones to come out and fight him to himself. We didn't get a message. Saying basically, Hangman has to stay in the ring while MJF says what he's gonna say, or something bad's gonna happen. You got MJF in the back with the Gates of Agony and Ricochet, and they got Mark Briscoe, and they soak him in gasoline. Basically, MJF, old school MJF, I need three conditions. Three conditions you have to accept, or I'm basically going to set this man on fire and murder him. The three conditions were, one, he didn't have to put up his contract. Two, The title can change hands on DQ, DQ or count out. I think those were the three conditions. Did I miss a condition? Maybe. But the big thing is he doesn't have to lose his contract, and the title can change hands on DQ or submission. So it's funny because he jumped Mark Briscoe, and I have this way I see of the match going. But this is the Lex Luthor Superman shit I was talking about last week for all the people that actually were listening to the show. This feud only works, in my opinion, is MJF always has the advantage over Hangman. Us as wrestling fans, just like we know Superman can kick Lex Luthor's ass, we know Hangman can just beat MJF. That's the rub. MJF is not as tough as that as he thinks he is. So what you need, in my opinion, and like I said, this comes to storytelling, not, you know, like, you know, insider information. MJF has to be ahead of Hangman the whole time. So now in the match, we actually have some stakes. Hangman can't lose it and get DQ'd. Hangman can't get counted out. That championship advantage that he had is completely gone. It's actually leaning towards MJF, right? And MJF, if he loses the match, can then just come beat him up and cash in if he wants to or whatever they want to do. So there is a lot of stipulations here that leans towards MJF. You know, just like, you know, like I said, Lex Luthor and Superman. I even to the point when I, even more of my Lex Luthor and Superman thing, is that MJF had a new shirt come out on Shop AEW that literally calls himself the main antagonist. I know he said it in a promo, but that's what Lex Luthor is in the DC thing. And this actually is so cool because it lines up with the whole HBO Max. HBO Max, MJF is Lex Luthor. For every intents and purpose, Hangman, Superman, nobody can beat him. But you have to have that psychological advantage in everything. And then, of course, it's Hangman's job to overcome it. And that's why I was like, last week I didn't like that MJF was losing. But this week, I think this rams. This goes with basic, antagonist, you know, villain storytelling. So shout out for getting it right? They got it right to me. I know some people did not like this, but I perfectly like this. This is MJF being MJF. That's what he is. He's the Matthew manipulator. He gets in front of everything. He knows he's one step ahead of everybody. This is what MJF is supposed to be. This feels like it. That's what the stipulations feels like, what an MJF Hangman match is supposed to be. MJF is never going to go into a Hangman match. He's never going to go in a Hangman match on equal ground. If he does, that's stupid. That's why I didn't, yeah, that's why I didn't like last week so much. So I am glad they seemingly fixed the story with this. And yes, I know MJ looked bad. They'd be like, all crime wrestling. Well, let me tell you about this crime. MJF was a crime of self-defense. Mark Briscoe said on national TV he was going to kill MJF. He didn't say he was going to beat him up. He didn't say he was going to give him a stern talking to. He didn't say he was going to maim him. He said he was going to kill him. From where I come from, that is called an actual threat of violence. And in this law, when you are threatening violence, you have every right to defend yourself. And that's all MJF did here. He defended himself. Now, did he go a little too far with threatening to set him on fire? You know, probably, but no. This was a great segment to me. This is the pro wrestling I grew up on. I'm not saying people threatened to set people on fire, but I remember to get power back that the John Cena and Dolph Ziggler had lost, Triple H or somebody, I can't remember exactly who, I probably should have looked this up before bringing it up, threatened to break Edge's neck again. And then that basically negated the whole Survivor Series thing. And to me, it was like, that's wrestling. That is absolutely pro wrestling. I know some people might not agree with it, but, you know, that's the pro wrestling I grew up on. The bad guy is always ahead. Now, the good guy may win the match, but the bad guy's ahead. So I definitely like the execution of this. Probably my favorite segment of the show other than the FTR match. So you know, I think they did a good job of fixing what was wrong with Hangman and MJF. And I understand you might not think anything's wrong with Hangman and MJF, but I thought something was wrong with Hangman and MJF, and this fixed it. Then now it's time for the main event. We had the Forever Champ, probably my favorite women's wrestler right now, Miss Athena, tagging with 29 belts Mercedes Moné, who looked like in her gear that she was auditioning to be the newest American Gladiator, which I thought was cool. It's probably a shout out to something, but she literally to me looked like gear for gear what Lace looked like when in the old American Gladiator days. So I thought that was pretty cool, you know. Then they were going against Toni Storm and Windsor, and they had a really good match, a really good main event match. It was cool. Windsor at the end, Windsor didn't know who the legal person was. Athena hits I think she hit the old face. I'm gonna make sure before I say that, but I think she picked the old face. I know she won. I know she's the one that got the victory, and I think it was against Windsor. No, it's so cool. It's so cool. I love her name, Windsor. But yeah, Mercedes and Athena got the victory, and they are going in ahead into their two singles matches. Hold on just a second. And then after the match, Mercedes went up to Persephone, and she tried to punk Persephone, and Persephone pushed her down. And then it was announced during the show that Bozilla was the fourth woman. Bozilla was the fourth woman in the in the four-way match for the TBS title. So it was going to be Mercedes, Bozilla, Alex Windsor, and Persephone for the TBS title. So, yes, I was 100% sure. I wasn't 100% sure. But, yes, Athena hit Windsor with the O-face, got to 1-2-3. Mercedes had the interaction with Persephone as we go into it. And it looks like Collision this week is going to be on Saturday. I thought they might do it on Thursday, but Collision's not is definitely going to be on Saturday this week. But that was it for AEW Dynamite. I thought it was a really good go home show. A lot happened that first hour and 10 minutes, which includes the FTR match, and then that first segment was amazing. I really enjoyed the show. It got me hyped for the pay-per-view. You all know how to get the pay-per-view. If you want the pay-per-view, if you're in America, it's pay-per-view.com or Amazon, or you can go watch it at a Dave & Buster's. UK, you got like six different options, but you can order it on Triller, which, you know, my option, of course, because I am in the UK. Wink, wink. Make sure you're doing that. Make sure if you listen to the show, you're on the Social Suplex Discord. The spoiler room for AEW is one of the livest chats with the most amount of people. You definitely want to be in there doing the show, getting some good hot takes. And I truly think you get the range of opinions where you will find someone that agrees with you. You will find someone that doesn't agree with you. You will find someone that doesn't agree with you passionately. So, but I do think our Discord is like the best group chat, live wrestling pay-per-view chat to be in. It's not just because of Social Suplex, because I've been in group chats my whole life. And they're like in my whole life. And a lot of times they do get a little too contentious and people get too mad, but everybody understands we're watching a TV show. And, you know, they have their favorites and all that stuff, but we generally can have very civil, intelligent conversations inside the Social Suplex Discord, so you make sure you're following that. All right, so the preview for Collision. So this was taped right after Dynamite, so I'm definitely not going to try to give away any spoilers, but just going to go through it real quick. We got the Don Callis family versus Hiromu Takahashi and Sky Flight, and I did not see exactly who the four were from the Don Callis family. Hold on just a moment. I know Hechicero, Lance Archer. I think Kyle Fletcher. We're getting there. Give me just a second. I'm scrolling. I know this is terrible. It's terrible. Bad podcaster. I'm doing this, trying to scroll through this and get the answer, and it ain't working. But let's go over to AEW.com. Collision. All right. Yeah, I don't know the four from the Don Callis family, but the Don Callis family will be there. I imagine Rocky's one of them. But Escape gets Skyfly and Hiromu Takahashi. We then get Megan Bain versus Isla Dawn, who's making her debut. I don't know if she's signed or not signed. It hasn't been announced. Willow Nightingale and Queen Amanada versus Julia Hart and Sky Blue. MJF open challenge. I know who it is, but I'm not going to say on here, but it's an open challenge. Tomohiro Ishii versus Takeshita. Big Bill versus, all it says here is Jobber. Big Bill is really over in the UK, so I'm pretty sure that's why they put him on the show. Gates of Agni versus the grizzled young veterans. And the Young Bucks versus the Paragon. Young Bucks on collision against the Paragon. That's going to be a banger. I like, if you look at a straight wrestling show and you talk about a preview, you got Young Bucks versus Paragon, which is a main event on any show. Tomohiro Ishii versus Takeshita. Rematch from Wrestle Dynasty. Let's fucking go. G1 winner, Takeshita. Willow and Queen Amanada versus Julia and Sky Blue. Come on. Let's fucking go. And then Sky Flying Takahashi versus a Don Callis family. Like, there's nothing but good matches. This is a great wrestling show to get you ready for the great wrestling show on Sunday. So make sure you are watching Collision. And now it's time for what everybody's been waiting on. Everybody's been waiting on. Here comes the Forbidden Door preview and prediction. Here is the preview and predictions for the 2025 Forbidden Door pay-per-view, fourth annual Forbidden Door pay-per-view, live from the O2 in London. Yes, we are about to go through all nine of the announced matches, and you are going to get my predictions. Some of them are just going to be just what I want to fucking happen, you know? Serious prediction shows, they exist. Go find them. But me, I like to have fun with my predictions. You know, I'm going to throw some outlandish shit out there a little bit. We go through it that way. So, preview and prediction show for it. I am sure another match will be announced. And the pre-show match, I am confident one of those matches is going to be the Ops versus the War Dogs. It just makes sense. I imagine they're going to add in another New Japan match. I'm guessing Takeshita's going to beat up somebody. Maybe, you know, in the pre-show. We'll see. Forbidden Door, probably one of my favorite pay-per-views. I was happened to be at the first one, which was really cool. FTR won a triple threat match. Won a three-way tag. So in that match, it was them versus them as the ROH champions versus the New Japan champions of Jeff Cobb and Great O'Khan versus Roppongi Vice, which is Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta. FTR won and took all the belts home that night. So I'm kind of hoping for a rerun this time, but let's start with it. So the way I did my match order is the match I care about the least to the main event. So like the undercard is mixed on how much I care about the match. And then I did go towards the end with the main event. So first match we have for the New Japan World title, we have the New Japan World Champion, ZSJ, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Nigel McGuinness. Now, cool thing about Zack Sabre Jr., I once Googled and found out his name. I just always assumed he was Zack Sabre Jr. I thought his dad was named Zack Sabre, and he was Zack Sabre Jr. I find out that's not his name at all. That cracked me the fuck up. Not going to say what his real name is. The Google's there. Wiki's there. I don't need to say it. But ZSJ versus Nigel, this is what they gave ZSJ. I understand. UK versus UK. O2 is going to go fucking nuts for this match. Fucking nuts. This is Nigel's a dream come true for Nigel. New Japan World title in London. All that's amazing. All that's amazing. But I am of the opinion. Give ZSA a top AEW star that you actually think might win and put on a banger. Now, this is absolute fan service. This is a UK fan match. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from it. But honestly, I think ZSJ said, like, you know, trying to do technical wrestling in America is like trying to teach Mozart to a dog or some shit like that. That wasn't even paraphrased. That might not even been close. But yes, I am that dog you're trying to teach Mozart to. This match will be fine. And it'll be super technical. And I'll probably be bored. And ZSJ is going to win. So the type of match they're going to have is, the winner's not in doubt. You know, like, yeah. It's just like, this is a match. This is a match that's happening in Forbidden Door. It's basically a non-active wrestler. It'd be like, hey, you know, I'm going to give the world champion Hangman. Give him somebody from the New Japan roster. Give him the Great Muta. Give him somebody that's retired. What, like, dude, I don't know. I like Nigel. I love him on commentary. I like ZSJ. I enjoy Nigel's match with Bryan Danielson. It's just, like I said, I think for the betterment of New Japan, they should have gave him a better opponent. All right, that's that match. ZSJ is going to win. Everyone knows that. I can't even do anything fun. I guess they're going to play the Oasis song, shout out. I know a lot of people are into them. Christian and Cope versus Quill Switch and Kip. The only thing that can make this match interesting is if Jungle Boy comes back. I mean, it's probably going to be a good match. It's going to be one of those field goal moments. UK is going to be loud because it's Christian and Cope tagging up for the first time in God knows how long. Kill Switch is making his return versus Christian and Cope. You got Kip Sabian here. But I think the only way this match really matters, like we know who's going to win, is if, you know, our guy comes back. The scapegoat, Jack Perry. Or maybe he comes back as Jungle Boy. I don't know. But we need something here. It's just, it's going to be a good match. Don't get me wrong. It'll be fine. It's just, yeah. The winner is not in doubt. Next match. We got Kyle Fletcher versus Hiromu Takahashi. This is going to be a fucking banger. Hiromu, amazing wrestler. Running the junior division for years. Wanted to, from what I remember from Keeping the Strong Style, he wanted to make a foray into the open weight division. There is no junior division in AEW, so that's the perfect place for him to do it. Kyle Fletcher, excuse me, whew, disrespectful. The TNT champion, the protostar Kyle Fletcher. Please say his whole name. Please say his full name. Thank you. And yeah, so this match, it's going to be a good match. It's going to be a banger. Might be match of the night. Just like pure in-ring match of the night. I think it has a strong case for being that. But, you know, we have no, like, there's no real question of who's going to win. It's going to be Kyle Fletcher retaining his TNT title. Now, it would be awesome if Hiromu could pull off the upset. Like I said, I feel like New Japan needs some wins on the night against AEW. You know, rally their troops behind them. You know what I mean? Then we have the four-way match for the TBS title. Mercedes versus Bozilla versus Persephone versus Windsor. Now, again, this would be a great time to get the title off Mercedes, right? If you want to get her back into the main event title picture with Tony, if that's the case, or whatever you want to do, or just get a fresh blood in the TBS title. She doesn't have to take the loss here. But I think she's going to win. I just think it's so stacked against her. She has to win. I'm going with Mercedes pinning Persephone to get the win. But, yeah, Bozilla, big power chick. Alex Windsor, She's going to be super fucking over in the UK. Now, if they want to do some real fan service, Alex Windsor pins Persephone of Brazilia to become your new TBS champion. And then, you know, you could probably get the title back on Mercedes if that's something you're interested in. Or Mercedes could graduate to really, you know, going after the world title again. Then we have the match I am most looking forward to this evening and on that evening, which is not, I did not put it last. So I know it's not the main match. It's FTR versus the Hart Syndicate versus Brodito. Three-man match for the AEW World Tag Team titles. I got FTR pinning Bandito to become your new tag team champions. This is not because I'm an FTR fan. I think this is the only way to get the titles off of the Hart Syndicate. Like I said, they're the rumors and all that kind of stuff. You know, I really didn't pay a lot of attention to it, but I felt like this not having a tournament final winner just kind of led me to believe, like, maybe there's a little truth to this. So they want to get the title off the Hart Syndicate, I imagine, to have a more competitive tag division. So the best way to do it is have FTR Brodito win. I think it's FTR pinning Brodito, and then you can set up a FTR versus Brodito feud going over the next few weeks. Then we have, for the women's world title, we have Timeless Toni Storm against my favorite women's wrestler, the Forever Champ, Forever Champ, Forever Champ, ROH Women's Champion, Athena. I am proudly a minion. This match is going to be bang. Again, maybe match of the night. This would be my other one that could end up being match of the night. Toni Storm and Athena are going to kill each other. And I'm calling the upset. The new AEW Women's Champion, the Forever Champ, Athena. Two titles, baby. The ROH World title and the AEW World title. Let's go. Now, I don't like the idea that, like, they've been pushing Toni, but the idea that she gets Mercedes streak and Athena streak, I don't know. I know Athena has lost on the AEW main roster, but I just, like, man, as well as she's been pushed, as well as she's, like, she's over as fuck, pull the fucking trigger. Athena, the AEW Women's World Champion, let's fucking go. All right, then we got Okada versus Swerve for the AEW Unified title match. This is the match that motivated my giveaway. I had an Okada figure. I had a Rainmaker figure. They were wrestling at Forbidden Door. I said, let's fucking go. Let's give them away. Let's see what can happen. So, okay, that's where we're at right now. That's where we're at. We got this match. Swerve's saying his knee's not that right. I didn't like it when I heard it, but I felt like that was the lead. I think Okada's going to win. I personally think they should pull the trigger on Swerve as a unified champion. So, you know, he'll go through the case of having all these belts, and he should take the unified title into the C2. But I feel like Okada right now is being built for Takeshita. That's my opinion. I haven't heard it anywhere, but I think the money match next year, this year, whenever they decide to do it, is going to be Okada and Takeshita in AEW for that unified title. So that being said, Okada's going to retain, but goddamn it, pull the trigger with Swerve. The next match, MJF versus Seabiscuit. Some people might call him Hangman Adam Page. I call him fucking Farmer. The fucking Farmer. It's for the AEW World's title match. Until he loses the belt, I will predict Hangman to lose every time. Every time. So your winner and new AEW Men's Champion, Men's World Champion, MJF. Now, there are a couple stipulations. The title can change hands on DQ and count out. And so I do think this is what will happen. Now, Swerve and Okada, I'm pretty sure Okada's going to win. But in this match, MJF hates MJF. Mark Briscoe hates MJF. I think MJF got shit beat him by him. He's going to come out to the ring, and he is going to hit MJF in front of the referee, calls in the DQ, your winner, and new AEW World Champion MJF. Or Hangman outsmarts him and just buckshot lariats him, which is probably the most likely, but I'm going to predict Hangman to lose every time until he loses. Every time. I'm just letting you know. So my prediction is MJF. 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 Now, okay, so before I go into the last match, I had a very convoluted thing. I thought in the trios match, MJF comes and fucks over the Hurt Syndicate. Because, you know, they got beef with him. They screwed him out of it. So he screws them out of the title. And then in exchange, FTR comes and screws Seabiscuit out of the title to hopefully get a reimaging of the Pinnacle. But with, you know, tonight, MJF kind of teaming up with the Ricochet crew and FTR going their way, it feels like the only person's mind this Pinnacle reunion is happening in is mine. So, yeah, it doesn't look like it's going that way. So, that being said, I think Mark Briscoe causes the DQ. MJF becomes your new AEW World Champion. The main antagonist, MJF, Lex Luthor beats Superman. Let's fucking go. And last but not least, in an unsanctioned, lights out cage match, we got the Death Riders, we got the Young Bucks, and we got Gabe Kidd, the Mercenary, versus Ospreay, Tanahashi, the Golden Lovers, and Darby Allin. I'm going Mox Pins Ospreay. No. That's stupid. It's in the UK. It's going to be the last match. They're going to give, if Ospreay especially is going after that, they're going to give him his moment. So I think Darby pins Gabe Kidd for their team to win. And it eventually it's the Darby versus Mox whenever that's going to happen. But yeah, it'd be stupid. What is considered, maybe considered Will Ospreay's last match for a long time, that he goes out with a loss. So he's going to go out with a win. Now, he probably will get attacked after the match, and that'll be it. But I truly believe they're going to want to give him that leave on a high note with the good guys winning. So, all right, quick run through of my predictions if for those keeping track. Again, if I'm wrong on any of these, you'll never hear about it again, so whatever. I got ZSJ over Nigel. I got Christian and Colt versus over Killswitch and Kip. I got Kyle Fletcher over Hiromu. I got Mercedes retaining in the TBS title match. I got FTR becoming a three-time AEW World Tag Team Champions, tying the Young Bucks. I got Athena beating Tony Storm. I got Okada beating Swerve. I got MJF beating Seabiscuit. And then I got the good guys winning in the cage match. So those are my predictions. Hopefully I'm wrong. Because, you know, if I was right on those, that'd be stupid and suck. You'd be like, oh, you just spoiled everything. Well, I can't spoil everything. I don't know shit. I'm just, you know, watching TV and saying, hey, this is what it looks like it's going to happen. So that's what it looks like it's going to happen to me. So that's it for your preview and prediction of it. Again, there will be an instant reaction. Now, our instant reactions aren't live. They're just going to be right after the show. Me and JR are going to take notes. We're going to get out about 30 minutes. We're going to try to knock it out in about an hour. I try not to go too much longer than an hour on our prediction show. Get that out Sunday night, Monday morning for you. Again, this Forbidden Door contest is actually going 2 weeks. So it's going to go past Forbidden Door. Reason being, again, I didn't put it up in time, so I'm just going to let it extend so we can get as many contest participants as possible. Again, there's going to be some extra ways to get extra entries as I put those out later, as I work with Laura from my social media manager, and we're going to see how this works. So I'm really excited about that. But that's it for the predictions. Only news and notes I had, or I had two big news and notes. WWE's doing this thing called Wrestlepalooza. It's going to be on September 20th. It's going up against All Out. I don't really talk about counter programming. I don't, like I said, I don't question where the fuck I'll be. I don't question where the fuck I'll watch. Now, if you're listening to the show, I don't really question which show you're going to be watching. But there are some people that are going to be on the fence. ESPN's first show, blah, blah, blah. Fuck it. It's going to suck. It's going to be 50-year-old John Cena against 50-year-old Brock Lesnar doing 50-year-old shit. Nobody wants to see that fucking shit. So keep watching AEW. Rock All Out. Fuck the Fed, as they would say. Like, again, it's probably as negative as I'm going to go. Lately, the counter-programming has been a little bit more annoying than usual. Then I've heard rumors. The last piece of news, Jericho to WWE. Jericho, I salute you. You are a main man. Do whatever the fuck you want. I will not ever say a bad word about Chris Jericho. I don't think AEW exists without Chris Jericho. He's one of those people. He was there for 6 years. He's tried to put over everybody over as possible. He has wrestled. He has put on amazing shows. He has sacrificed his body for AEW. If he wants to go work for WWE and say fuck every AEW every day, I won't say shit. I can't respect the man too much. But Chris Jericho, one of my friends questioned whether he's a star. I'm like, the dude's a rock star. That dude has a cruise that basically sells out every time under his name. He has a podcast that's one of the most popular podcasts in the world. And he's a wrestler, who one of the most versatile wrestlers ever. Honestly, the Madonna of professional wrestling, as much as he's changed his image and his character and everything. If you have anything to say about Chris Jericho, as if he decides to go get that last Fed check, you just talking to a brick wall, because I'm just never going to hear anything you say bad about that man. Like, is he my favorite wrestler? No. He's not even in my top 50. But the respect I have for Chris Jericho and what he's made, he came in a time where size is all that mattered, and he's not a big dude. And he still made a name for himself. He then helped New Japan. Then he helped AEW. This is what Chris Jericho's do. Anytime a wrestler goes down, you can see Mr. Chris Irvine right there giving the money to him. Nothing you can say bad about Chris Jericho when it comes to wrestling. I don't know about his private and personal life, all that kind of stuff. He might be a piece of shit. I don't know. But when it comes to the wrestling world, I have nothing bad to say about Chris Jericho. He can do what he wants. I won't say anything. It would, to me, be a loss for AEW, but that doesn't matter because in the end, he did more for AEW than him losing will do against AEW. So shout out to Chris Jericho. The dude even held the ROH title to help put over Claudio. Man, this dude did everything. He has done, it worked every part of this show. So, yeah, if you got a problem with Chris Jericho, I don't think you're a wrestling fan, because you have to see what he's done for AEW. All right, I think that's it for the show. I got us out here pretty quick. Me talking by myself, I can drone on a little bit. I think I did a good job of stopping myself. Give me any notes you have at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. I'd prefer it on Twitter. We have the allthingselitepod@gmail.com. I don't really check it, so don't send anything to that. But make sure you hit us up on Twitter. Tag us if you have any thoughts. You think I'm wrong. If you hate me for going against Seabiscuit, tag me, and I'll definitely get a reply as quickly as I can. I do sleep during the day U.S. time, so if you send me something at 8 a.m. and I don't reply till like 9 p.m., that's why. Just kind of putting that out there in case you're like, why hasn't he replied to me? It's because I sleep during the day. So there you go. Thank you for listening. Next week's episode, well, the review show will have JR, but next week's episode, full episode, we'll have Austin back on the mic. That'll be 290 as we do the countdown to AEW, All Things Elite 300. Make sure you are listening to all the shows on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Like I said, I prefer you just download the Social Suplex Podcast Network and listen to the shows. You got One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style. Those are the two shows I listen to every week. We got Tonal Talk, Nutrition Stereo Podcast, AEW Match Guide with Sam when he's up to doing it. I think he has a new FTR match to do now. We got Imps. Right now it's AEW Adventure. It was a WWE Adventure. We don't know what it's going to be. But it may stay AEW Adventure. He does a quick recap of everything in the AEW TV world. But I want to make sure you're listening to the whole Super Suplex podcast. I think we're the best podcast network in the world with the most variety of shows. So make sure you're checking us out. And with that, I will leave you how I always leave you. And to all these people, you will hear this first time. Be nice to people. We're at the dog days of summer. Football season starts. A particular asshole side of me does come out when football and fandom starts. I enjoy that. I mean, I'm a generally nice guy. That's when I like to let my asshole flag fly, is when it comes to talking about sports. That's my thing. So that's what I do. That's my way to vent. But in general, be nice to each other. If you can help someone and you can see someone in a position where you can help, do it. And, you know, it's not like the pay it forward situation. We're like, I hope they do something. Just do it because it's the right thing to do. Do it because it's nice. Do it because it'll make a person smile. That is why you should do things, because it's the right thing to do. With that, again, I'll leave you how I always leave you. Whether it's home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
You love to travel? Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.